Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Council, those numbers show that Omicron is as deadly and causes as much serious disease in the unvaccinated as Delta did. The numbers, look at the hospitalization rates that are going on. We have more affected people in the country today than we had a year ago in January. We have hospitals that are almost at full capacity with people severely ill on ventilators. We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators.
That is Justice Sonia Sotomayor speaking Friday during Supreme Court oral argument on COVID-19 vaccine mandates. How do we account for her misstatement? What she said there was absolutely not true and has been demonstrated to be false, but she is one of the people who's charged with deciding whether or not, through OSHA, employers can essentially force their employees to be vaccinated, the Biden vaccine mandate. Well, the oral arguments have been made and a decision is expected very shortly. We're going to be talking about the U.S. Supreme Court and vaccine mandates. Roger Severino joins us. He's senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, formerly served as director of the Office for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and he's a graduate of Harvard Law School. Roger, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
How do you account for Justice Sotomayor's statement that we just heard?
It's difficult to account. It is the height of irresponsibility when all of America is watching the Supreme Court deciding whether or not OSHA can mandate a vaccine on much of the American workforce, that she just flat out gets her facts wrong. A simple Google search would have made her realize that we don't have 100,000 kids hospitalized right now. It's actually more like 4,700 that's been since the start of the pandemic. Also, you had Kagan say that 10 million deaths, and that's, we haven't even hit that worldwide. So it's really very disconcerting that they focus so heavily on the numbers and facts that we're so grossly on. 4,700 in hospitals today versus 100,000, which she said were also in serious condition and ventilators. I don't know how much more wrong you could get, but when the justices, especially the liberal ones, were focused on the policy arguments that were saying that a lot of people are going to die without it, that, A, is not necessarily the way you do law. You look at whether the statute allows you to have this sort of power first, and then you might get the policy arguments. If they're going to start with policy first, you better get the facts right, and they completely drop the ball on that.
So how did her statement appear to fit into the approach of the court's liberal minority to Biden's OSHA vaccine mandate?
Well, the mandate is the federal government trying to do something, anything, to force the vaccine on as many Americans as possible. And that came out throughout the oral arguments, especially Chief Justice Roberts, saying, you know, we all know what this is really about. This isn't about workplace safety. The workplace, is hard to argue, is somehow, writ large, more dangerous than any other place in America. When you think about American workers, most are not at retirement age, and the people most at risk are already retired. We know this to be a fact. Yet, as Chief Justice Roberts said, the federal government is looking for any fig leaf it could grasp to say we're going to force Americans to get vaccinated. And the liberals jumped on the point saying that's okay with us because we're in a crisis stage, and it goes back to the policy arguments. And the conservative justices say, regardless of the level of threat and danger, and they didn't really contest the level of threat, they said, we have a system of laws, we have a constitution. Does Occupational Health and Safety Administration have the authority under federal law to do this? And I think the answer is clearly no. Congress has to speak absolutely clearly. I mean, even if it does have the authority under the Constitution, it's only Congress who could give them that sort of power. And there's no credible argument that says they were given this broad, sweeping power. When you think about OSHA, you think about hard hat regulations or the height of railings on construction sites, not a medical intervention that you could never undo as a condition of participating in the medical workforce unless you get masked or you do the tests, which, by the way, there's a massive shortage of tests, so that might not even be possible. So they're really in a bind where they say this is not really a vaccine mandate, but if you can't test, it's a vaccine mandate.
So if the Supreme Court allowed President Biden's OSHA vaccine mandate to proceed, what implications would it have beyond the issue of vaccine mandates?
Well, this would be an unprecedented expansion of federal power. If you thought that the Obamacare expansion, requiring people to buy insurance as a condition of existing in America, was bad, this is even greater than that, saying that the federal government, through a safety agency that really has no expertise on public health, HHS would be the logical one that would, to say that this agency has the power to mandate a medical intervention means that there would be few, if any, limits beyond what the federal government can do. And what is a workplace safety issue? What is an emergency? What qualifies as a grave danger? If they're able to get away with saying all of it qualifies and we have the power to do it, then workplaces, everybody has to work, just about, then the federal government could mandate just about anything. If they could just call it safety, they could call it health, or say there's an emergency involved. And I think the Supreme Court is very skeptical, and they're probably going to say, no, this can be dealt with at the state level, if it's dealt with at all, or Congress could pass its own law to address this. You can't just exert this power on your own. And remember, even President Biden originally said he didn't have the power to do it until he changed his mind and started to impose it on the country.
So what questions is the court considering regarding the vaccine mandates being challenged?
Well, the first is, does the Constitution allow this sort of delegation of broad authority to a federal agency? There was a lot of skepticism as to whether or not this is even something that could be handed over. But the real question that they spent a lot of time was, okay, Congress did pass a statute regarding workplace safety back in the 70s. Did they possibly grant this sort of unbridled power? It's called hiding an elephant in a mouse hole. Would they actually have done this without being more explicit about it? And we're a country that's a nation that believes in the rule of law. And the rule of law means you know what Congress is passing and what it means. And the argument is there's no way that the text of the OSHA Act, as it's called, supports this expanded view of federal power under the cover of emergency. Mind you, we're entering year three of the emergency, and is there any end in sight? There's always going to be variants coming up, and will there be any end to this? So it kind of calls into question the very notion of an emergency if it's indefinite and if it could go on and extend it indefinitely. So all these questions came up. Now, one question that didn't come up, which I found quite interesting, was the fact that the efficacy in terms of limiting transmission under Omicron of the vaccine has plummeted. We're down to 33% efficacy with the Pfizer vaccine, which is the gold standard vaccine, yet the federal government is going to be imposing this vaccine mandate, and they said to protect the unvaccinated, yet the vaccinated are, we know, transmitters of the disease at a very high rate now. And that's really something that wasn't dealt with very specifically during the argument, which I thought was a lost opportunity for the advocates.
We're talking with Roger Severino, senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, about the U.S. Supreme Court and vaccine mandates. When we come back, what kind of questions did the justices themselves ask that have led many to say that the court will block the Biden employer vaccine mandate? Issues Etc. surpassed more than 6.4 million downloads during 2021. You can help us reach more listeners this year. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Old theology, new technology. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court oral argument on vaccine mandates. Roger Severino of the Ethics and Public Policy Center is our guest. Roger, what kind of questions did you hear the justices ask that have led many to speculate that the court is going to block the Biden employer vaccine mandate?
Sure. Many of the questions were highly difficult for the side in favor of the mandate, mostly in the sense that it's an extension of federal power, that states have a say in this whole debate. And one big mistake Sotomayor seemed to make was that the federal government doesn't have what's known as police powers. It's general power. It's a limited government. Only the power is given to it by the Constitution. She seemed to say that the federal government did have this general power to act for the public safety. But you saw other justices push back and say, no, the states are the ones that traditionally have this power and have this authority. What's the federal government doing in this area? So there was a lot of skepticism from the court, and I think we're going to see this pushback that as much of a public health issue this clearly is, this is the wrong agency without any of the sufficient clear powers delegated to it by Congress. Now, one interesting question that Alito had for the Solicitor General, that's the top lawyer for the federal government, he said, I want you to be clear. This mandate is about protecting the unvaccinated, not the vaccinated, because that's been a debate. What's this mandate for? And she was absolutely crystal clear. Yes, this mandate is to protect the unvaccinated. And then Alito said, well, the unvaccinated are unvaccinated by choice. Isn't, you know, whatever the wisdom of that, they have chosen to make their own health care decisions for themselves. And the Solicitor General said, we are also doing this to protect people who cannot get vaccinated but want to, including based on religious accommodation purposes. So people who have religious objections to the vaccines can't get vaccinated, and we're going to require other people to get vaccinated to protect them. This was a very strong pro-religious liberty position coming out of the Biden administration, and that was one of the biggest surprises out of the argument, that the Solicitor General took such a forward-leaning position because they really want to push the vax as much as possible, so they're even willing to take a religious liberty argument in favor of it, which is supremely ironic because this administration has been generally incredibly hostile to religious liberty.
What was Chief Justice Roberts' point about legislative inaction?
Well, Congress hasn't actually passed the statute giving the federal government this sort of power, right? It's been left to the states to do so. And there's so many areas of American life. It's the state and local governments. They're the ones that are the best equipped to deal with these questions. Florida has taken one view. California has taken another. That allows us to see which one's more effective, actually. And we've seen, actually, Florida, I believe, has had the better of the argument. So that's the beauty of the federalist system. You have that ability. Congress could, if it wants to, pass a statute giving an agency this power. And then the question would be, does the Constitution allow that, right? But if you don't even have a statute, then you're just making stuff up and you're asserting powers that not even Congress pretended to give you. And that's why I'm pretty confident that the OSHA mandate is going to be struck down, because not only do you have all these serious constitutional questions where the federal government even has such a power to give an agency this discretion, it didn't give the agency this discretion, so it loses on two counts.
Why has the court repeatedly upheld state vaccine mandates, and what is different then about this OSHA mandate from those?
Well, I wouldn't say repeatedly. There was a 1905 case, Jacobson versus Massachusetts, that's pretty famous. And it actually struck down a federal mandate that limited the ability to evict people under a public health rationale during COVID. So it's reined in overreach of the federal government, at least. And we'll see what happens with the state arguments. There's some important bodily autonomy arguments. This is very interesting that we have this, of course, a clear pandemic. The question is, who gets to decide? Is it going to be individuals? Is it going to be your boss? Is it going to be a state government, or is it going to be a federal government? Who gets to decide what you inject in your body? And they didn't address that question other than at the federal level. And eventually they'll get to the question, certainly it's going to be litigated all the way, can a state do this? And it'll be interesting to see. There are some strong arguments that there are some limited justifications for it, and then there's counterarguments that are saying that this is not the case when the vaccine efficacy has just plummeted in recent days, and now a large number of Americans who want to get vaccinated have been vaccinated, and you have natural immunity. What about people who already have natural immunity? So all these questions are coming to play. I'm generally fairly anti-mandate when it comes to these sorts of things, but whether or not the legal arguments will play out at the states, you know, remains to be seen what the Supreme Court is going to say about that. At the very least, there has to be religious accommodation for people who object to the vaccine. That, at the very least, has to be respected in law, because the Constitution protects that as well.
Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra is quoted in the press saying that people will die if the court stops the Biden vaccine mandate. How do you respond to that, Roger?
Well, you had Justice Breyer saying the same thing. He was one of the more colorful in saying that if you don't allow this to happen, people will die. Well, he didn't have the data to support it, saying that the mandate is the answer, because you have to consider all the factors. If you have a reduction in the number of healthcare workers, if you have a reduction in the number of people who are getting fired because of it, right? And what is the difference of the number who will be vaccinated only because of this mandate versus not? And that's, you know, they have a pretty high burden of proof to say that those people who would otherwise not be vaccinated would be the cause of deaths of people in the workplace. And the real question is not whether the mandate would have any effect. I think it would have some effect. Some people would get vaccinated who otherwise wouldn't. When you put a gun to this person's head and say, you're going to be fired if you don't, that, you know, it's pretty strong incentive, leaving the masking and testing the side option if it materializes, but pretty strong incentives. Then the question becomes, is there a better way? Does it have to be the federal government mandating every business over 100 people, even if you work outside, even if you're not closely together, even if you take all these other mitigating measures, and even if your workforce is all young people, even if it's 99% vaccinated, do you have to get that very last 1%? And it really goes to show that this is the Biden administration. As Biden has said, he's lost patience. It's wearing thin with the unvaccinated people, and it's targeting them to make their lives difficult. And this is the mechanism they have found to try to make their lives difficult. It's moving away from how do we limit the number of people sick and dying to how do we get unvaccinated recalcitrants to get vaccinated. It's a very different goal. And I think it should go back to the public health goal and what is the most effective way of achieving that, as opposed to trying to make a political point that every single person must play along, when there are so many complicated issues involved in this. You know, do we use a scalpel or do we use a sledgehammer? And I think a more tailored approach would actually be more effective in achieving the public health goals. I mean, look what happened with nursing homes. Had we focused on nursing homes early on in New York, a whole lot of people's lives would have been saved. Taking a targeted approach early on could have been actually more effective.
With just about a minute here, Roger, what's at stake in this case for the American people?
Well, it's a question of who gets to decide some of the fundamental questions of things like medical care, right? This is something that gets to the heart of personal medical decision making. Can the federal government be the one to say you must be vaccinated, and it's something that cannot be undone in the name of workplace safety? And I just don't think there is the authority to do that. And I don't think it's that close a question. On the question of, you know, can CMS do it for medical workers, it'll be a closer question. The Supreme Court dealt with that as well. And there, do we really want to fire the people who were literally paraded as heroes a year ago? Are those folks now a threat and a menace when they're willing to do the same protective masking as they've done for the last 2 years? The answer is no. We need more healthcare workers, not fewer right now. So there's a lot at stake, and this emergency will eventually pass. But whatever precedent is set about federal power will not. So we have to be so careful to not let public health emergencies open the door to a loss of rights or the loss of our liberties through the structure of the government that we have set up, because it's very hard to ever fix that if we lose those things.
Roger Severino is Senior Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He formerly served as Director of the Office for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and he's a graduate of Harvard Law School. You'll find a link to the Ethics and Public Policy Center at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Waldheyer will join us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk with him about a story of transgender transition regret, then the theatrics of preaching with Dr. John Bombaro.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.